Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're going to beginning our studies here in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 as we finished chapter number 4 last week. In chapter number 5 verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." So we see the Apostle Paul, after he just laid out the details of the catching out of the saints, that he's going to be shifting into a slightly different topic with them by the use of the word "but," because he's going to be shifting from this issue of, okay, here's what the catching out of the saints actually is. This is the details of what you're going to be looking for related to this event, to now have a discussion here related to the idea of the times and seasons, the issues that we see when we go through scriptures and we see the things that are given to the nation of Israel, the people who the Jews require a sign. So that idea of the people who saw the different signs associated with them, and he's now saying things to us, the members of the body of Christ, those who've put their trust in the gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. These are the individuals who the Apostle Paul is saying, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Because when we look back through Scripture, we see how Israel was promised the issues of the times and the seasons. In fact, we're going to look at a couple passages here. Let's start in the book of Acts. We'll go to Acts chapter number 1. And we're going to see how the Lord Jesus Christ speaks to his disciples right before he ascends up into heaven here. And we see the question in verse number 6 of Acts 1 that they ask, which is, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" So we see what is in focus here, what they're asking about, and they're asking questions related to, is this the time that the kingdom is going to be reestablished with the nation of Israel? Then we see the answer that he gives unto them, starting in verse 7, "And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now, as he's speaking here to these individuals, he's telling them the aspect of that when he says, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons," he's speaking to them from the aspect of that they're not to know exactly when these events are going to happen, but there's going to be a sign in verse 8 that's going to be letting them know that this is progressing forward, which is the issue of, that they shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that they're going to receive the Holy Ghost as part of this process leading to the times and seasons occurring with the nation of Israel. So once the Holy Ghost comes upon them, which is what we see in the very next chapter of this book, they would know that they're progressing in this period of the times and seasons, that the kingdom is getting closer, because that next step has actually occurred with them. We see how the Lord Jesus Christ makes a reference. Let's go over to Luke chapter number 21. And we're going to see as he's teaching them. And when you go through the Gospels, you see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke especially, that there are these references to the issue of these the signs, the times, the seasons that are going to be associated with what's coming. And we'll pick up here in Luke chapter number 21. And we'll pick up in verse number 24, where it says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So he's laying out these things of that these are the signs that they're going to see prior to the Son of Man, talking about himself, coming to them to establish the kingdom. So it really almost starts to become, in a way, a checklist for the nation of Israel to be able to say, okay, we've seen this one, we've seen this sign, we've seen this sign, we've seen this sign. Okay, now we know that his coming and the establishment of the kingdom is at hand, because we've seen all of these signs that have been laid out to say that these are going to occur. We have not seen any statement related to that the Apostle Paul has given, of that here are these signs that everyone's going to have to see prior to the catching out of the saints. Now let's go over to the book of Joel, and we'll see how the thing of where in Joel's prophecy that he's going to lay out these signs for them here in Joel chapter number 2. When Joel writes, starting here in verse number 28, and we'll read down through verse number 32, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward, they will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant who the Lord shall call. Now, you see these signs in verse 28, 29, 30, and 31. All of these different things. Talk about, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The sons and daughters prophesying. The old men dreaming dreams. The young men having visions. That the servants and handmaids, the spirit will come upon them. There will be wonders in the heaven and the earth. Blood, fire, pillars of smoke. The sun being turned into darkness. The moon into blood. All of those things, it just says, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, that's an important phrase to kind of keep in mind, of that fact that all of those things are going to happen before the day of the Lord comes. Now, the day of the Lord is God pouring out his wrath prior to the kingdom being established, which has the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth to set up the kingdom. But you see how all of these signs occur before this happens. You know, it's not a thing of that these signs are happening while the day of the Lord is coming. You know, it's not going to be, okay, the day of the Lord started, and then these signs, you know, are going to kind of happen, some happening before, some happening during. You know, every single one of these signs are going to occur before the day of the Lord actually comes. This is what you start seeing. If we go over to, back to the book of Acts, we go to Acts chapter number 2. And we see how, you know, when the Spirit came upon them in Acts 2, and they were starting to speak with tongues, that, you know, the people were kind of, as they're witnessing it, they're coming up with their own ideas of exactly what is going on. But Peter makes it very clear to them, so that way there should not be a misunderstanding of what these events actually are, when he says, and let's pick up in verse number 14 of Acts chapter number 2, and we'll read down through verse number 21. It says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will shew wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, again, we have the issue of these signs happening, as it says, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And that Peter is making it very clear to his audience. And he says, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. So that's who he's speaking to here in Acts chapter number 2, because we're here on the day of Pentecost, we're a Jewish feast. So Israel's program is continuing here in Acts chapter number 2. It's before the salvation of the Apostle Paul, the raising up of the body of Christ, and the dispensation of the grace of God. So this is still Israel's program. And he's pointing out the fact that these signs that are occurring here, as he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So he points out and says, you know, that prophecy that had been laid out, this is what is happening now. And so the things of that, what's going on in verses 17 and 18, these are the things of the Spirit coming upon them and the prophesying, the visions, the dreaming of dreams, you know, the Spirit giving them these abilities so that way they can actually understand that these are the signs of what is going on. That they would know that as they're seeing this, that, okay, this is exactly what Joel had warned us about. So as we're seeing this, that the next thing that we should be seeing before that day occurs is that we should be seeing those wonders in heaven, the signs in the earth, the sun being turned into darkness, the moon into blood, and then we would know that the day of the Lord is come, because all of those signs have actually happened. Now, if we go over to Revelation chapter number 6, and we're going to see how John, as he's laying out this vision that was given to him, we're going to see what he describes related to the opening of the sixth seal. And we're going to read from verse 12 of Revelation 6 down through verse 17. And it says, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" So, as John is recording this, and again, this is the sixth seal that's been opened up, and this is after, now if we just kind of take the seal in order, you have had the first five seals have already been opened. You have the first seal is the white horse rider, the one who's going to be, you know, that's the Antichrist appearing on the scene. You have the second seal that's being opened, the red horse rider, and that's the issue of peace being taken from the earth. You have the third seal being opened up, which is the issue of the, you know, the idea of that, okay, now we have the famine that's going to start happening. You have the fourth seal opened up, which is starting to see the issue of the fourth part of the earth dying. You have the fifth seal open, which is talking about the martyrdom of those who are, you know, following what God has laid out. All of that happening before the sixth seal opened up, that describes all of those signs that were laid out in Joel chapter number 2, the signs that Peter makes a reference to on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter number 2, and how the individuals, and let's read verse 17 again of Revelation 6, when it says, "For the great day of his wrath is come." That those who are witnessing these signs, who are alive as this is occurring, they're recognizing the fact that this means that the wrath of God is actually occurring because they have seen all of the signs that were pointed to them that this is what was going to be going on. Now, we know that, and we've read these passages multiple times. Let's go back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we'll go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1 first, and verse number 10. It says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." We'll go over to chapter number 5. You see how in verse number 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have multiple times in this epistle that the Lord Jesus Christ has guaranteed that we're not going to be part of that wrath that's going to come, which is why the Apostle Paul says in our text, when he says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." If we're not appointed to that wrath, and we're not going to have to worry about having to be part of those things, then there's not a need for him to be writing about them unto us. Now, the issue that individuals would, you know, kind of come with, and it's where we'll actually end up picking up with next week, is the issue of, well, if we're not given these signs, if this is not part of who we are as the members of the body of Christ, then why is the Apostle Paul even spending time making reference to these things? Because if it doesn't even apply to us, then from the thought process of most individuals, the Apostle Paul shouldn't even have to spend a second to actually make a reference to it. And we're going to actually talk briefly about, before we start moving on in our study, about why it is that the Apostle Paul actually makes any sort of mention related to the times and seasons that are laid out in the Scriptures. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some charts to help you in your study of God's Word. We have information on how to join our Sunday services and our Wednesday night Bible study live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. And if you happen to be in the Buffalo area on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., we'd love to have you join us at 83 Anderson Road in Cheektowaga, New York, to study the Word of God with us and to have that time of fellowship. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything on these broadcasts, we'd love to hear from you as well. And so until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.